So we're in Romans chapter 13, looking at verses 8 to 14. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, these words are for us from you. They're not for others, they're for us, and they're for us today, not in another time, not in the time we wish we were living in, or the time we used to live in. They're for us now. We pray that your Spirit would work in us so that we grasp and hear, but so that we grasp and hear in order to live. Lord, we thank you for your mercies in the gospel. And in view of that, may we set ourselves to love and serve you, trusting in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. What I want to do today is really almost take you on a little journey with me, how I read this passage, some things that surprised me when I read it. To show you that, and then we'll pick up a couple of practical things from it, hopefully that will help us in our living in this COVID world. Now, Stephen last week, I thought was great at pulling out from chapter 13, the beginning of chapter 13, the responsibility that we have, especially in terms of government and the responsibilities to the society at large. From verse 6, at the end of Stephen's passage, Paul talks in terms of what we owe, of the debts that we have. So if we owe, the government looks after us, so therefore there's debts that we have to pay to them, and that's a responsibility we can't deny or duck out of. It's there. It's good to pay tax. The same, if we owe people things, we would pay them. If it's taxes, taxes. If revenue, if we owe people money, then pay the money, pay what we owe. If it's respect, then we need to pay respect. So it's not just agencies and kind of filling in the money to make sure we pay debts like that. It's a person thing as well. Honour, if honour is due, respect, if respect is due. And of course, that's how we should live with people, human beings that God has made, with honour and respect. Now, in the next verse into our passage from verse 8, Paul, he's not shifted, he's still on the same track. So he says, let no debt remain outstanding, honour, revenue, respect, tax, and so on. So if there's any debts you're aware of that you've got to pay them. But he says here, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt. So there's one debt, he says, that you'll never finish paying. There'll always be ways that you can keep paying that debt. And of course, this debt is a debt of love. So we'll come to this in a moment. Love picks up really from verse 8 right through to verse 10. That's all about love. But then in verse 11, Paul says, do this understanding the present time. And if you look at verse 11, well, let me read verse 11. Do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Now, what's Paul doing here? He's pulling in a sense of urgency. He's saying to these Christians in Rome, look around you. Look at where you are. Look at the time. This is urgent. You cannot wait to do this. You've got to do it now. You must get on with it straight away. Now, this kind of urgency in the New Testament, what comes with it, we would think is an evangelistic urgency, the urgency to tell the world about Christ. Your people must know about Jesus. They must turn to him and believe. We must call people to repent and trust in him. And other parts of the New Testament, that's the urgency. And that's what we expect to come next. But it's not what Paul brings next. So he's talked about this urgency. And then verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here, so let us. But then he says, put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently. So it's all about behaviour in the world. And then, well, I find myself thinking, well, why is that urgent? Why has Paul got his bee in his bonnet about having to do it now, get on with it straight away, don't delay? Surely that's all. It's just a matter of doing it. It's part of life. We just get on with it. Why is it urgent? And I think this is a it's a nice angle, I think, to read life, to read our COVID world, to read everything. It's a nice light. And Paul, I think, sheds this kind of gospel. It's a gospel approach, if you like, to things. And that's what I don't want to lose that. I want to pick this up here. So this urgency here that Paul is urging on us, it's not for evangelism, although it'll be for that as well, obviously. But here it's for something different. It's about how we live in the world. So, back to verse 8, picking up this thing about love in verses 8 to 10. So in some ways, what we're looking at here is, what's this thing about love, this debt that will remain unpaid, but we've got to keep paying it, keep doing it. How does that bring in a sense of urgency that Paul's talking about? How does that lead to urgency? How do they connect? So this section on love, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled. And then he introduces something which in our minds today is disconnected entirely from love. He introduces the idea of law. Whoever loves, he says, has fulfilled the law. Now, look at the end of verse 10. He repeats this idea. Therefore, love is a fulfillment of the law. So the first thing that we need to say here in these verse 8 to 10, when Paul's talking about love, he more or less is saying love and law are the same thing. Now, that's not what we think. It's not how we feel. It's not how we read life. But Paul says love and law are the same thing. Whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. In verse 8 and verse 10, love is the fulfillment of the law. What does it mean? How does this work? Well, by law, Paul means verse 9 is pretty plain, the commandments, and he lists four of them here. Don't commit adultery, or you shall not commit adultery, shall not murder, shall not steal, shall not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one command. So he's talking about the Ten Commandments, and he mentions four of them specifically, but he says, and whatever other commands. So it's not just the ten. He's talking about the commandments that God has given us in Scripture, beyond the ten, the commandments as a whole in Scripture. So he says, these are the commandments. You shan't do this. They're all summed up in this one command, love your neighbour as yourself. Now, we know this, don't we? You could have told me this. You don't need me to tell you it. But Paul's, he wants us not to miss how he understands love, because I think this is a very, very, it's very kind of, Si talked kind of months ago about getting stuck in the mud and kind of the danger of sinking. And I think love is a bit like that. We can just sink into this mire of love and get it totally wrong. We totally lose the plot. We lose it. We just miss entirely what love is all about. And Paul here ties love and law together he bonds them together as one thing, pretty much. And this phrase, love your neighbour as yourself, we know it. But what we tend to forget, even though as Christians we should definitely know this, what we tend to forget is love your neighbour as yourself is not, Jesus didn't invent that word, that phrase. He quotes the Old Testament when he says that. Love your neighbour as yourself, Leviticus 19 verse 18. So love is an Old Testament idea. Love your neighbour is an Old Testament idea. It's not a New Testament idea. And here Paul in the New Testament is saying, do this, obey this Old Testament law to love your neighbour as yourself, because this in a sense is a law that covers all the laws. Now how does that work? How is all the law summed up in one command, love your neighbour as yourself? Now our immediate thought is, well, that's obvious. If we love people, then everything's nice, the garden's rosy, everybody's happy, all the laws aren't, no laws are broken. Perfect. But of course, it's harder than it sounds. And if you say that, if you make it out to be that, you just kind of walk away and think, oh, you know, we know this, nothing to do, just carry on as normal, do our best to love people. But this is where the sense of urgency, I think, comes in. At verse 8, picking up from the passage Stephen did last week, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding. Now, that alone is almost an urgent call, isn't it? So he says, look around you at the people that you're in touch with. People maybe you mix with in church, not obviously now, but you generally mix with in church. Look at people in your family. You know, how many people are in your household? Or how many people are in your bubble? How many people are you in contact with, maybe on social media, family? And then what Paul is saying is there someone that you owe the debt of love to? In other words, someone that you should love that you don't love, or that you haven't paid that debt to recently. So of this maybe five people you're thinking of, and you think, well, this one, we've had awkward moments and I've just kept out of his way. This one said something nasty to me on Facebook the other day, and I'm not gonna rise to it. The third one, well, this person doesn't really like me. You see what I mean? And there's five debts. And Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding. In other words, these five debts you've got, they're urgent. You must deal with them. You must face them and tackle them. You can't let them lie. You have to do it. So it's not quite so easy. So, I mean, this is a very basic picture. Suppose, being a bit kind of blunt here. Suppose the woman next door, you find her very attractive, and you want to commit adultery with her. Now, what you might feel in your heart is, she is everything. I cannot think of anything but her. Everything I look at or do in the world reminds me of her. My feelings for her are desperately, desperately strong. I love her. And so you, in your head, you begin to imagine adultery, and maybe the opportunities come. You feel God opens the door, adultery. It's what happens. Now, how do we know that's wrong? You love her. And love is the fulfilling of the law. Surely that's right. But it's wrong, because God has said very explicitly in that commandment, you shall not commit adultery. So if you feel this is love, but actually it's adultery, you've misread what love is. You've misinterpreted love. You've allowed passions, feelings, rationalization in your head. You've allowed other things to distort the meaning of the word. Because if love is the fulfilling of the law, then by loving you will keep all the different parts of the law. Not just all these parts except the adultery part. You'll keep all the parts of the law, because love is the fulfilling of the law. Jesus said, if you hate someone, then that's murder. So if maybe one of these five people you hate, resentment, anger that is brewing, every time you think about them it rises, then you've a debt to pay, because at the moment this idea of murder, as Jesus put it, anger, that is there. There's a debt that has to be paid. So you've got to think, how do I love this person? Now, it might not mean running up to them and giving them a big hug and saying, I'm sorry. That wouldn't be right now. But you see what I mean? You've got to face it and say, it's urgent that I deal with this debt. I must tackle this issue with this person somehow. Not so that I can look good and he knows that he's done wrong. Because love holds no records of wrongs. Love is not something that means you shift the balance so that you're in the right and they're in the wrong. Love is allowing yourself to go down and them to go up. So you see what I mean? Paul is saying, we've got to pick out the debts that we owe and pay them and keep paying them off as we can, as opportunity comes. And more, of course, the debts of love will arise, and we have to do that. Love is the fulfillment of the law. So God is saying, I have revealed my law to you, to my people. And if you love, you will fulfill it. But don't misplace what love is, because you need to look at the commands as a whole, each one, as well as simply the general idea of love, and say, if I think this is love, is this actually breaking commands? So love and the law are tied in a way you cannot pull them apart. And there's that urgency, there's a debt that must be paid. Then we come to verse 11, and Paul backs up this urgency in more explicitly. And see how he puts it. He talks about the time. It's an issue about timing. Understand the present time. The hour has already come. It's not as if it's away in the distance. It's here now. The hour has already come for you to wake from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, it's pretty clear what he's saying. He's saying Jesus is coming back. Judgment Day is coming. And they are, if you like, the sun has begun to rise. Through the curtains, you can see the sun be rising. The day has begun. The time is here. It's time to get out of bed. It's time to stop slumbering, to stop thinking there's plenty of time, to stop thinking we don't need to do this yet. It's time to do it now, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Now, by our salvation is nearer now, he means that the salvation fulfilled, the culmination of salvation, entering into the full salvation of the kingdom of God. That is nearer because a significant step has been taken. The curtains are showing the light. Wake up, open the curtains, it's day. And of course, the action that we do now, verse 12, it's about how we live. The day is nearly over, the day is almost here. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness, the deeds of nighttime, and put on instead the deeds of daytime. Now, just follow with me in verses 12 and 13, the words night signifies, the beginning of verse 12 signifies at the end of, well, in the middle of verse 12, darkness. Night and darkness are together, and there's deeds that belong to darkness. Verse 13, three or four words in, not carousing and drunkenness, in other words, not selfishly indulging our passions without thinking. Not carousing and drunkenness, these are two words beyond with darkness and night. Not sexual immorality and debauchery, again, words meaning to do with night and darkness. Not dissension and jealousy. Now, sexual immorality and debauchery are since sexual indulgence, sins of the flesh, sins of passion. Dissension and jealousy are like an internal sins of selfishness, where you say, I'm not going to go with this. This is stupid. I'm going to dig my heels and resist this. This is not right. I'm going to breed dissension. I'm going to breed disagreement and let people know that disagreement is there and cause division, cause trouble. Jealousy is saying, I wish I'd thought of that. That should be my place. I should be there, not him or not her. These things that work in our head, but means we undermine other people through them. All of these are deeds to do with darkness and nighttime. And Paul says, open the curtains, see the sun rising, put off those deeds of darkness and nighttime. Instead, and now follow me through these same verses, looking at the deeds that belong to daytime. There's not so many of them. Verse 12, the night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness, put on the armour of light. In other words, Paul used the word, just dress yourself. Dress yourself, clothe yourself, yourselves with day deeds. Live in daytime. And verse 13, behave decently. That's the only word he uses, decently, as befits day. It's daytime, live decently. What does he mean by that? Well, love that he's just talked about is probably, he's talked about love, and now he said, we'll live like that. Because Christ is coming, because the day has arrived, because there's not much time left, get on with this debt, paying off the debts to love. Live decently. Now, the darkness deeds are selfish. They're about me and my rights and my way of life and my pleasures and my passions and my position. Those are the deeds of night, of darkness, that we lay behind, that we leave. the deeds of daytime, the dressing ourselves in daytime deeds, at living decently, that is loving, because it puts someone else ahead of me. It recognizes that I need to do something for that person, or give something to that person, or make something right with that person. Not for my conscience, not for my feeling good about myself, but for their sake. So these deeds of daytime are outward looking. And I think the day-night thing picks that up. Close the curtains, turn the lights off. The darkness outside comes, and it's private. It's my inner world, or my room world. Open the curtains, the sun comes up. Open the windows, open the doors, go outside. It's a world where other people live too. Let no debt remain outstanding except the debt of love. Put into practice putting other people first, living that way. Now, the last verse I haven't looked at yet. This is a summary, a kind of catch-all verse. And it brings back this idea, because up to now, everything we've talked about, really, you could say, well, it's just morality. It's just being a good person, altruism. But verse 14 makes clear that it's not that at all. And it reminds us of what Paul has said in the rest of Romans up to this point. Verse 12, rather, he says, clothe yourselves. So it's not nighttime. This is daytime. Clothe yourselves. Put on these clothes of daytime. What are those clothes of daytime? The Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Dress yourself every morning in him. Put him on. And therefore, and the consequence of that would be, or you deliberately set yourself then differently to not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. See, it's not so much choose the good over against the bad. Rather, it's Jesus Christ has given you everything. Remember chapter 12, I go back to this time and time again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy in Jesus Christ, look at Jesus Christ. See, God has given you everything you could ever want or need. Put him on, and therefore set yourself against the deeds of darkness about how not to gratify the desires of the flesh. It's a constant thing. Put on Jesus Christ. Verse 14, Paul's not saying you did it once. Paul's saying do it. Keep doing it. Get on with it. Make sure it's happening all the time. Make sure other people come first, because Christ is your clothing. Christ is your life. He has infiltrated your life, and he is directing and leading in that. And therefore, work hard not to allow the darkness to encroach. I think it's clear here. Paul's got one, he's hammering one thing, but from a couple of different angles. And I love the way he puts this thing about love. It's a debt that you owe. Therefore, it's urgent. And it's urgent because Christ is coming. And in the meantime, clothe yourself with Christ who is coming until he comes. Clothe yourself with that and turn against the darkness and live with him, in service to him, in service to others. Let's pray again. Father, this is great for us. Thank you that in ourselves we don't have the ability to live the life that we should. We just cannot get it together. We can't manage it, maybe for a time, but not for long. Father, we thank you that you've given us Jesus Christ. You've given us him in his death on the cross so that our sins are forgiven, in his rising from the dead so that we have new life, in his coming to live in us by his Spirit, and now in this call that we clothe ourselves in him. Father, we thank you for this Jesus Christ, this Spirit of Christ in us. That means we are able to begin to take steps to resist the deeds of darkness, and to begin to pay off these debts that we owe, debts of love to others. Father, give us the grace in Christ and your Spirit that we may do this, not just generally, but pick out who we can love, who we should love today and tomorrow. All this we ask in the name of your Son, our Saviour. Amen.